أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها. صدق الله العظيم. In the last session we talked about the previous ayahs than what I have just recited, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us the way to Jannah and the direction that leads towards hellfire. He mentioned two qualities for each. As far as for those two qualities that lead towards the hellfire, wal-ayyadu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Those who transgress the limits, they do not stop at the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and prefer the worldly life, فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The hellfire is the destination. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And as for those who are afraid to stand before the Lord, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, and control their desires, themselves from following their desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, then paradise is the final destination. After telling us these simple ways, as one of the scholars describing these ayahs in just one word said, that it's very easy to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just need to step two steps in your life. One step on your desires, and the second step will be in Jannah. But as long as we are not willing to step on our desires and stop following the desires, and we have no way to control our emotions and our desires and our lust, then of course we are going too far away from Sirat al-Mustaqeen and from the direction of the Jannah. I have narrated this before also, that there was a great scholar called Imam Bosari rahmatullahi alayh, who wrote a poem about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he had admired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioned certain things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a strong way, that when he went and recited those poems at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave, he received a sheet from there. In his dream, he saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is putting a sheet on him. It's a long story about those poems and how he wrote them and what happened after he recited them. But the thing I want to mention is one of the poems that he mentioned in those different, in that whole series of poems that he wrote. He says, "One nafsu kattafin." Our desires are just like a child. In tuhmilhu shabba ala hubbir rida. If we let it grow and we keep on following the desires, they will be just like a child who's used to breastfeeding and will keep on growing breastfeeding. Wa in tafsimhu yanfasimi. And if you stop the child from breastfeeding, then finally the child will, after crying for some time, will stop that and will get used to food. So he says, our desires are the same way. If we follow the desires, They will make us just go ahead more and more and follow them. And they will always increase. That desire will always increase, will never decrease. I give you a simple example from Quran al-Kareem. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, do not even get close to adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, that is an evil deed, and not just an evil deed. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, a very bad path to choose, a bad direction to choose, which simply means these evils, if a person will think that I will commit the sin once and then I will stop, he's wrong. This is what Shaitan normally tells us, that this time just do it once and then you don't have to do it again. Just let me try it once. Many of those people who are used to smoking, they know that this is how it started, then let me just try it once and see how it does it test. And the person went and tried it once, then he said, oh, it wasn't too bad when I tried it. Let me say, try it once again. And after trying a couple of times, he got used to it. And now he wants to do it just a couple of times. And he says, you know, I don't get used to these things. I drink tea a lot, but I never get used to it. Sometimes if I don't drink it, that's fine with me too. And after some time, the person gets addicted to these things. And this is how Shaitan gets us involved in all these type of evils. So same thing with every evil. The door opens by trying it once. And as soon as we try it once, then the person keep on going further and further. These desires never end. وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ is a very bad route to choose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this, now he says, the kuffar of Quraysh came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the day of judgment is going to take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's immaterial. Say for example, if we get the reply that it will take place tomorrow, so what? And if the reply is after 100 years, still it won't make any difference to us. We have to prepare for it anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يسألونك, they question you. Su'al means to question. يسألونك عن الساعة, they question you about the day of judgment. أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا, when it would take place. فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how can you know about it? فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا, how can you mention it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not know when the day of judgment will take place. As there is a hadith, is a long hadith, in which a man came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam different questions, and finally Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in found out that was Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, who came in the form of a human being. One of the questions that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Mata as-sa'a? Akhbirni an as-sa'a? When the day of judgment will take place? So he said, Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alama min as-sa'il? The one who's being questioned doesn't know anything more than the one who's asking. Me and you both are equal in this regard. Even Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't know when the day of judgment will take place. So none of the two, the leader of malaika and the leader of human beings, none of the two knew when the day of judgment will take place. There are certain things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have not given the knowledge of those things to any person. He just left it for himself. Once Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, in his old age, he wanted to go for Hajj, but he was confused whether he should go or not, because he wanted to die in Medina Munawwara. So he was thinking, what should I do now? And he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a lot in his dream. In fact, in some narrations it says he used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day in his dream. So he said to himself that tonight as I will see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream, I will ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you tell me when I would die, Ya Rasulullah? So I then can decide accordingly, should I go for Hajj or not? So when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his five fingers to him. When he woke up, now still is confused, thinking whether it should be 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years. He doesn't know that. So he sent a person to Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not mentioned and have not told you when are you going to die. By pointing five fingers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told you that he pointed towards an ayah of Quran al-Kareem at the end of Surah Luqman that says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. The ayah talks about five things. No one knows about them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. No one knows what he will do tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no one knows where he is going to die. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to that ayah that I don't even know about your death. I don't know when you are going to die. So when people question about when the Day of Judgment will take place, and this question is repeatedly mentioned in Quran al-Kareem with different ways of replying to this question, the reason is telling us that this is immaterial to find out and to try to know when the Day of Judgment will take place. Our responsibility is to know what are we doing for the Day of Judgment. As there's a hadith in Bukhari, a Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Mata as-sa'a ya Rasulullah?" When the Day of Judgment will take place, ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right away asked him, "Ma a'adatta laha?" What did you prepare for the Day of Judgment? And basically, this is the main thing. What did we prepare for the Day of Judgment? If we are looking for it, and if you want to know, say if the Day of Judgment is after 100 years, but still we can never guarantee when we are going to die. We might die today. It might be next moment and people are preparing for our jannah. No one knows about that. So, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. They question you about the Day of Judgment. أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When it will take place. فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. How you can mention it, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. Your Lord has the final word about it, the final knowledge about it. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. The ayah means, the final word is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the final knowledge about the Day of Judgment, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it. But at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word muntaha, it simply means that it will end to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means no matter what, we will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's today or tomorrow. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem about Jews, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Each of them hopes to live for 1,000 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, I'm not going to give you the 1,000 years to live. But he says, he puts it in another way, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّرُ. Even if he would get the 1,000 years, yet he will go to the hellfire. So what benefit is he getting by spending the 1,000 years? وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّرُ. Even after 1,000 years, if the person is going to hellfire, then it doesn't make any difference to him. Because as we will go there, then the person won't remember how much did he live in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can warn only those who are afraid of it. You can warn only those who fear it. مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. Only those people will accept the warning from you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are afraid to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا. The time they will see it, they will feel if لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. They will feel as if they have not lived except for one evening or a morning. إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. Not even one day. So irrespective of how much person the person have lived in this life. 30 years, 60 years, or 1,000 years. each and every person on that day will feel that I have lived only for just one morning, not even a complete day, just a morning, or just for one evening I was in that world. That's it. Take a very simple example. Sometime we might go for outing with our family or friends, and we are to spend 3-4 days over there. After spending the 3-4 days, or might be even a week or 10 days, when we come back and go back to work, it feels like I just went yesterday and we didn't have no time yet. The time went so fast. And this is yet we are in the same world. Imagine as we will go over there to the next world. And then we will look at this world, comparing this life with that life, never ending, everlasting life. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah of Quran al-Kareem, on the day of judgment, people will be asking each other, كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ. How many years did you live? So they will reply, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. We lived for one day, or even less than a day. We lived even for less than a day. This is the reality of the whole life that we are spending in this world. The complete 60, 70, or even 100 years that we might get in this life, and I'm sure most of us hope that we won't live for 100 years because we know all the hardships and the pains that we have to go after 60s. So many of us are not even looking to live for 100 years. In fact, even our closest relatives may not even wish for us to live for 100 years because they know that then it will be a burden on me and trouble for himself also. So it's better for him that he will live just in a good age, gets a good life, and before all the pains and problems stay, then it's better for him just to go now. And normally, people wait. People wait for the older people in the family. Okay, he might go any time. And any phone call during the night time, an emergency, we might feel that it might be a call about that person has gone now. This is why when a person came to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Ya Abdullah, I have served my mother so much that I carried her on my shoulders. I carried my mother on my shoulders and did the complete hajj, tawaf, sa'i, and taking her to Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, complete hajj, carrying my mother on my shoulders. Did I fulfill the responsibility towards my mother? He said, do you know that when she was trying to help you in your young age, when you were a child, she was always hoping to see you grow up and to see you getting very strong and seeing you getting healthy and wealthy. And you are doing all of this for her, hoping that next year Hajj she won't be around. He said, with that type of thinking, do you think you can fulfill her rights? You do all of this for her, hoping that soon she will leave. She was doing all of that for you, hoping soon she will see you getting good and she getting healthy and wealthy. Different thinkings. And then, of course, he replied that she did not even pay for one breath she took at the time of delivery. And this is very true. The hardships they have to go through. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. The mother carried you, and all of us, of course, she carried us with all the hardships. وَحَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. And even when she delivered us, it was with all the hardships and pains. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about a woman who dies in that pain, and while she is in the labor or in the state of delivery, or she dies because of the stomach ache, especially if she is pregnant, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said she is considered shaheed because of the hardships and the pains she had to go through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very clear to us that no matter how much we live in this world, finally, as we go back from this world, each and every person, irrespective of our age and our life in this world, all of us will be thinking we might have lived for just a day or less than a day. And just for this life, for the short life, just think how hard we are working. Day and night. In the morning, when we say there is a rush hour, 8 o'clock in the morning is rush hour. 6 to 8 is rush hour. In the evening there is a rush hour. What is all of this rush hour is for? Why everyone is leaving home early morning, coming back in the evening, tired? It's for this one day or less than a day. All of what we are doing in our life, the whole hassle in our life, every hardship that we are facing in our life is for this. And if we really, and I'm sure most of you are more learned than me, and you are better, you can do better calculation than me, if we do the calculations of our life, and just think how many hours of our day are getting spent just for one day of our life, just for this world, and how many minutes of our day are getting spent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to work, we try to prove that I really can do best, the best work in the factory. And I can be one of the best employees over here. And I can be one of the best people to do this type of job. And we try our best to prove our abilities when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very simple, is salah that normally every mu'min will perform. We try to prove that I can be the fastest person in the world to perform and finish the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the same fact. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا. On the day of judgment, every person will feel لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. They have not left in this life except for one morning or one evening. This is something we have to really think about. And this is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِمِ اللَّزَّادِ الْمَوْتِ. Always remember the thing that will destroy your desires, and that is al-maut, the death. When a sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, our hearts get rusted, Ya Rasulullah, how can we purify them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said two things: recitation of Quran al-Kareem and remembering the death. Remembering the death is one of the very important things that a mu'min should do in his life. And many scholars recommend that at night time before going to bed, if a person will just think about it for a couple of minutes, that keeping yourself, ourselves, in the status of as if we are dead, and people are preparing to put us under the ground, what is it that we will be going through at that time? When we are not able to take the shower for ourselves and people are giving us the shower. When people are washing our bodies and turning it right and left. When people are carrying our bodies on their shoulders and walking towards the cemetery. Today we don't like to stay in the home by ourselves. If our wife or husband leaves home and says, I'm coming in 5 minutes, and they end up coming back in 10 minutes, we'll be very upset that I was by myself, I wasted so much time, I don't feel like staying by myself at home. You should be there, you should be back on time. We can't stay with just in our homes, just in our own homes. We don't want to stay by ourselves. Imagine staying in our graves by ourselves. If we think about that situation, people putting us under the ground and then throwing the dust on us. Now we are left over there by ourselves, and Munkar and Nakir come to us and they start questioning us. And they start asking us about everything that we have done in this life. And especially, that will be the time when everything we have done in this life will come back to our memory. It will be just like if someone is taking the movie of our whole life, whatever we do in our life, and at that time is going to play the whole movie back, and will make us watch that movie, that this is what you did in your life. And now by looking at this movie and looking at what you have done, now tell us, Ma Deenuk, what was your way of life? What was your deen? Islam? Christianity? Judaism? What was it? Ma Deenuk, what was your way of life? Man Nabiyuk, who was your prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or somewhere else? Were you really following? Look at this movie. Looking at that movie, now we have to judge. It's not that this is what I used to say. It's just like If a person will play a movie to us and will tell us by looking at this movie, look at this movie and then compare what you know about Quran and Hadith and tell us if this person is a Muslim or not. Same thing, this is what we will have to do about our souls. The whole movie will be played back to us. And then looking at that, the angels will point to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as many hadith say, that we will be able to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they will question us, مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ, what do you say about this man? To the extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says in the hadith, there will be some people who will say that, هو رسول الله, he was a messenger of Allah, the angel will beat that person up, that you are lying. This is not what you believed in your life. Look at that movie and then tell us that who was this person. Some people will say, they will be asked, مَا دِينُكَ, what was your way of life? Deen means a way of life. Islam, supposed to be our way of life, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, which simply means, the only accepted way of life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Islam. That's the way of life. So that day we will have to look at that movie of our life and then tell that what was our way of life. Were we following Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we were following Michael Jackson or somewhere else in the world there? Some of those movie stars or some other people in the world. So this is why it's very important for us to remember our death and to put ourselves into that situation. As Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayhi says, it's narrated in Mishkat al-Masabih, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا, judge yourself before Allah will judge you. It's better for us to judge ourselves today and compare our lives with what we know from Quran and Hadith and see if our life is in accordance with Quran and Hadith, because that day we will have to judge ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again reminds us in Quran al-Kareem that on the day of judgment, every person will be enough to be a judge against himself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before bringing any other judges and before bringing any witnesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove the wrongdoings of the person just from his own deeds. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an example. He says, a woman will be called on the day of judgment. She have missed salah, she have done a lot of wrong things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask her, why did you do all of this for? Why did you commit the sins? She will reply, Ya Allah, I did it because my husband was very strict. He did not allow me to do it. He did not allow me to perform the salah. He did not allow me to obey you, Ya Allah. I committed all of these sins because of my husband. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reject that. Sure, her husband was like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present the rest of the deeds to her and will tell her, do you find some deeds over there, some other things that your husband did not want you to do and yet you did it? There might be, it might be that there was a day your husband said, don't go to the market, and you still went to the market. If you could force yourself and your husband to do something that you wanted, why cannot you use that force to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We will be judges against our souls. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues to say, a servant will be called, and we can put ourselves into that situation when we go to work. A servant will be called, and he will be asked, how come you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He will say, Ya Allah, my master was very strict. He would not let me obey you, Ya Allah. He would not let me perform the salah. He would not let me do certain things. And this is why I had to obey you, Ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove to him that there were some other things your master did not want you to do, yet you performed those things. If you found excuse for yourself to do those things, how come you did not find the excuse to obey me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Qiyamah, بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةً وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَةً. Every person is very well aware of himself and herself, no matter how many excuses will bring on the day of judgment. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةً. Every person is very well aware of himself and his abilities. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَهُ مَعَاذِيرَ is عُذْر. No matter how many عُذْر, how many excuses this person brings, he knows what he can do. So, we know our abilities. And we know what we can do. And there is really, if we will really be strict to our deen, and truthful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and loyal to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no force in the world to stop us from obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no force in the world whatsoever to take us away from our deen. When King Hercules realized that there is no way, being a superpower, Roman Empire, being a superpower of the time, he realized there is no way for me to defeat these Arabs. Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So he asked help from the king of China. And China is always, throughout the history, is known for the large population. Even up to this day. So he asked for help from the king of China. The king of China sent a reply to King Hercules saying, which is quoted in the or narrated in the histories. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi have also quoted this word, the saying of the king of China. He said, I cannot fight against such people that if they will have a mountain on their way and they feel it's necessary to continue on the same route, they will not change the route, they will move the mountain out of their way. He said, I know their history. I have seen, I have studied these people very closely. I know about these people, these Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, that if a mountain will come on their way, they will not change their way. They will not change their route. They are going to move the mountain and they will continue walking on the same way. I cannot fight against these people. Sorry, I cannot help you against these people. These were our ancestors. These are our elders. Those are the people that we are proud of. But if they will find out about us, that for minor things missing our prayers, for minor things our children are out of deen, for minor excuses we are giving up so many of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sure they won't be willing to accept us as their children. They won't allow us to be in their homes. There was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who saw his nephew playing with some pebbles, small stones, and he's throwing them. So that sahabi said to his nephew, don't play with these, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prevented us from playing with these. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't play with them, it will not hurt your enemy, it will not, you won't be able to use it for hunting. It might hurt someone and hit it in his eyes or in his teeth and will hurt him. So don't play with these pebbles. Of course, sometimes youth, they like to, when they get habit of doing something, so after a short while, that boy started playing again with it. When he saw him playing with it again, he said to him, didn't I just narrated a hadith to you? I have just narrated a hadith to you telling you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we are not allowed to play with it, and now you are again playing with that, I will never talk to you throughout my life. I don't want to see you anymore, I will never talk to you again in my life. This is by not fulfilling the order of, one of the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the hundreds of orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we are neglecting day and night. Would we think that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in would accept us in their homes on the Day of Judgment? This is something we really have to think about. So this is what Imam Nasirin rahmatullahi alayhi says, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Judge yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you.